Brilliant. Welcome back. We are on podcast number two of our three series, Think and Look Back on the History of CFC as a Church. Delighted to be joined by the one and only Grace and Terry Koch. And we're just going to dive straight in. You know, obviously we've picked up where we left off with Frank and with Martin. And you were one of those girls who were walking up the street.
I was one of those, yes. Not walking up the street. No, mine was a bit different.
Okay.
Because Alan George, he was driving his car. He was giving lifts to these other girls.
Yeah.
There was one other girl who belonged to my dad's church, and she really wanted to go, but didn't want to go alone because she was from Strathearn. And she had asked me if I would go along with her just to keep her company. So I would have walked from Castle Hill Road near Stormont, then walked along to Knocknagunny, picked up Sharon Scott, who I only discovered a few years ago is Priscilla's cousin.
Okay.
I had no idea till recently, and that was through Facebook. And we walked then the whole way to Hollywood, through Twistle Bridge, out to the far end of Hollywood, and we're there for the meeting, and then we walked all the way back again.
And you were getting your steps in before steps were a thing,
Grace,
I did.
So we were 16 at the time.
Wow.
The old Hollywood Road was that little dark road as well. So I used to sing things like My High Tower and all these really long hymns really loudly because it was terrifying walking along on my own because I left Sharon at Knocknagunny, so I still had a mile
or two
to walk.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, they'll just think I'm a religious nut.
Amazing.
And nobody will attack me. So, yeah. We did that for weeks.
Yeah.
And Sharon stopped going after a couple of months, but I kept going, and then I did it by myself.
Wow. And you're still alive to tell the tale.
Still alive.
And so that was Hollywood. The guys have talked us through the banger and then the move back then to Hollywood. And then they talk about Belfast, which will bring Terry in a wee bit, Grace. But there was a stop off then in Hollywood before the Avenel and Belfast venture.
Yeah. I think one other thing that's really good to remember, and it's only listening to Martin and to Frank, that the sacrifices included people who had got places in university across the water. But actually turned them down and then came and stayed here because there was a sense of commitment that God was doing something. We wanted to be part of whatever God was doing. So people actually sacrificed roots and plans that even their parents, I mean, it was a sacrifice in terms of having to face their parents and say, I'm not going to go to St. Andrews or I'm not going to go to XYZ. And it was all to do with, we were hungry. You know, we'd found something, we'd found God, and there was a real sense of community.
Amazing.
But yes, we did. We stopped on the way. Another Methodist minister who was so good to us was Dennis Bambrick and his wife Marion, and they welcomed us with open arms. So we had a stop off with them for a couple of years, and Terry and I helped with the youth club, which is where we met Fred MacDonald.
Okay.
And.
And
so,
were
you
married by that stage?
Yeah,
we were just married at that point.
You were just married at that point?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Okay.
Yeah. And we couldn't afford a house in Hollywood, so we moved on halfway to Belfast.
I was going to say, was it still as expensive?
We were prophetic. We moved on up to Belfast.
You were prophetic house buyers?
Not that it was cheaper or anything.
Was the East any cheaper than Hollywood then?
Absolutely.
It definitely was.
So you had bought your house in Belfast, newly married couple, serving in what was becoming a church. I mean, would you have described it as a church at that point?
We were still serving in the Methodist church. We served there for a few years, and then we moved up towards Avenel and met in the cafe upstairs.
And so who was leader of the church? I mean, did the church have a leader as such then? Who was the...
Well, Peter Yarr was,
Peter Yarr was the leader of the
so
church.
So he brought his group from Bangor back to Belfast.
Back to Belfast, okay.
And he was still leading that.
Okay. Thing. And so serving in kids group, in kids ministry, but also worship would be...
Yeah.
Martin and Frank have obviously said how important that was for CFC before it was even CFC. What's your history with that, Terry, obviously, because you're still going today, man?
I became a Christian and went straight, really, into the fellowship because a guy called John Thompson invited me to this youth praise group. So so I'd just become a Christian. But I went to this praise service and I was really struck by the worship and the presence of God that I never experienced in a Presbyterian church. You know, your Presbyterian church is a song, sit down, a prayer, sit down, you know. Whereas this was like, as Martin was saying, like an hour of worship and music. And so it really grabbed me. And so I actually got involved then in the worship ministry in Bangor. And also then they had this 24 prayer running prayer thing going on, which I got involved in. But my hour was like 4 a.m. in the morning. And I remember I'm not long a Christian. Yeah. Family isn't Christian. Living at home. And I had to sneak downstairs and be beside the phone because the previous person was going to phone a message through. So the phone rang and I grabbed it and then talked to them, prayed for an hour, and then I had the phone on the next.
Oh, so it was a relay prayer?
So it was just a complete relay thing for 24-7.
In your parents' house?
In your parents' house.
And my parents' house. So my mum says to me the next morning, "What were you doing last night?" So I had to explain I was praying for an hour. She went, "You prayed for an hour?" So then it evolved into, we met in the Bangor offices, so people then travelled down, and we prayed in a room. And so I was from 4 to 5 a.m.
Yeah, that was your slot.
So it was a journey. In terms of worship, it was like, a brief history was like when St. Patrick was here and he was resting in a valley.
Yeah.
With some of his friends. And then apparently there was this heavenly light came. Mm. And choirs of angels started singing and praising. And they experienced this. Mm. And that valley was beside the loch. And it's actually Hollywood Bangor. And that's why it's called Hollywood.
Hollywood. Yeah, okay.
And since then, worship and 24/7 prayer has really been the foundation of what CFC is built upon, because they prayed and evangelized really most of Europe out of Bangor and stuff. And I was at a meeting one time in Bangor, and this lady gave this prophetic word about Bangor was anointed for prayer, and Belfast. Might get emotional about this.
Yeah, that's okay.
Strange, isn't it?
You don't get emotional. No. You really don't get emotional.
And Belfast was anointed for worship.
Yeah.
So there's this journey from us from coming from Bangor for the 24/7 prayer. And the foundation of CFC today is worship. And back in the days where the monastery in Bangor was, they took their music around all of Europe and established about 2,200 monasteries.
St. Colin Ballas, was that?
Yeah. And then that history has continued in Belfast. Like Robin Mark's music has gone around the world from CFC and bands like Blue Tree have written songs that have gone around the world. So there was this anointing on Belfast for worship that I've sort of got plugged into, you know.
And still going
strong.
Very much so. Very much so. Just before we go into... Because, you know, Grace, you've said about the cafe at Avonale and the move from Hollywood to there, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
But Martin and Frank brought up this word shepherding and this which is part of our story and history as a church. And would it be fair to say that there were issues around this
Absolutely.
Area and it caused some hurt, even with a good intent, it still caused some hurt and
shepherding came in, I think, in the 70s. I think that's whenever we embraced it was in the 70s. And basically we had got involved with Derek Prince, we'd got involved with some of the folks in America, a guy called Eric Krieger, and Peter and John had also got involved with these people. And the whole idea of shepherding was about mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
That was all it was. It was just to have... Yeah. And it was really, really healthy. But unfortunately, as time went on, we just took our focus off the Lord and people became more focused on people. And actually, we put people on the throne and on the pedestal instead of on God. And it still hurts me today whenever I think of the people way back over the years who once were walking with Jesus and they're not following Jesus anymore. And some of that is obviously through choice. But I know that some of that was caused through the pain of things that went wrong in shepherding and mistakes that were made. And we have to own our mistakes.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad we have a gracious and a merciful God. And the thing that always comes to me is there's a Japanese technique of restoring broken pottery called kintsugi.
Kintsugi, yeah.
Something
kintsugi,
like that.
Yeah, I think
okay.
You're right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And kin means gold in Japanese. Mm-hmm. And it's the concept of whenever a bowl was broken, they would put it together and it was fixed together and stuck back together, but with glue, mm-hmm. and all the special glue, but also then gold, dusted mm-hmm. with gold. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So all of these cracks, these broken cracks, end up being these beautiful patterns of gold, and they're mm-hmm. each unique. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's very much a picture of my life, mm-hmm. and it's a picture of our church's life, mm-hmm. that we're all cracked pots, not mm-hmm. crackpots, mm-hmm. but cracked mm-hmm. pots.
Mm-hmm. Some would say.
Some might say.
But that's good grace,
But to me, it is such a case of, you know, God is so gracious. Mm. God is so merciful. And he has forgiven us time and time and time again.
Yeah.
You
highlight something so important there, like, you know, and the purpose of this pod, you know, is not to say that we're a perfect church who's done everything well and right, and that there has been hurt and pain caused, which
right.
has been talked about and dealt with in the past, and also to acknowledge that, as you say, God's goodness and his faithfulness to his people despite our flaws and our failings. So while so much can be celebrated, we also need to recognise that not everything was and should be celebrated and recognise that. Great. So prayer and worship on the go, the transition, the moving, the growth, and now we're in Avenil Cafe. I mean, what was that like? And what was going on? And talk us through the Avenil experience.
It was quite bizarre. And
did you get a sausage roll or anything?
There was a cafe. Yes,
yeah,
that was afterwards.
I remember,
afterwards,
it also
yeah.
had a swimming pool and a sports hall.
And they did do their baptisms.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, our son was baptised there. And
Aaron.
I think it was Aaron who was
Aaron?
Baptised
Aaron?
There.
Okay.
And,
right. Okay.
You had to swim out to him, and dunk him, and then swim back in again.
Okay.
And that was absolutely the church.
And you're not even joking.
No, we're not.
So we had the church and the cafe, and then okay. we would go down to the swimming pool and baptize
80,
people.
84 cafe in Avenue.
Around
so,
about,
yeah.
84. Yes, around okay. about that time. Yeah. So we were there for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And then again, the numbers grew.
Okay. And did you outgrow the cafe then?
So we went from the cafe. We realised we're just too big for this. We moved down to the main sports hall. And then you had to trail out the bleacher seats every mm-hmm. week. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. there was, even in terms of music, in terms mm-hmm. of kids' work, there was nowhere we could do kids' work mm-hmm. during the week. Mm-hmm. All we had was a facility mm-hmm. for a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So, it was challenging, but it was still great. And there was still a sense of community. And then that's whenever we began to sense that actually God was calling us to become mm-hmm. a church mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and no longer just a fellowship group, because we'd yeah. always been encouraged to belong to our local churches
yeah, yeah, yeah.
and to support our local churches.
But this was different.
And this was something, a new season.
And to take us into, you walk into Avenil Cafe, what's it like? What was the service like? You know, what was CFC like in Avenil Cafe?
Well, we still had the same type of service where we had worship for
okay.
half an hour, 40 minutes,
yeah.
and then somebody would teach,
yeah.
and then we'd go and have tea and coffee and yeah. Be a community.
Yeah.
When we moved down to the hall, the acoustics were terrible in terms of it's a big sports hall, mm-hmm. And it was much more difficult, I thought.
Yeah.
So it was really a great relief when we moved to this building here.
Yeah. So for the purpose of podcast, we are in our east site in Strandtown.
Yeah.
And at that stage then, in Avenil, still led by Peter Yar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. I don't want to get technical, but like starting to structure elders, like what was the sort of organisation, staffing, you know? What sort of steps were taken?
I don't think we had elders until we actually came up here. We still had leaders.
Yeah, yeah.
We definitely had leaders within the fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter would have been like the father figure.
Yeah, okay.
And bless Peter. I mean, Peter was great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
we all owe him a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's the same with Roy and Rosemary Miller. I mean,
yeah,
they're my spiritual mum and dad,
yeah,
and
yeah,
always
yeah.
will be.
Roy gave me a feedback text.
after my preach on Sunday there.
Oh, so I bet he did.
He did, yeah, no, still. Adam was positive, thanks, Roy. So it was great.
I'm going to argue with my wife, but we did have elders because we had Hugh Jervis and
some
of those sort of guys.
Okay.
John Thompson was an
John
elder.
Thompson,
so there were a number of
of
elders there, yeah.
It's interesting, you know, because you said correct your wife, you're a very brave man.
I'm used to it.
Priscilla had said earlier on, actually, but when you think back, you think you've got your dates and your times and everything memorized, and then you realize, oh no, it's not. So, you guys have done an amazing job, as Frank and Martin did, to recall all of this and journey through it. So it was really starting to form into something. And did you ever, I mean, what did you think it was going to be? Like, what was, if you can recall that, like, what did you guys think these were up to? What was God up to?
Do you know something? I've thought about this, and we had a group of people that I think God had anointed as a community.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the attraction wasn't the church service as such. The attraction was this community of people that you felt you belonged to and you shared a journey with, no matter where it was going.
Mm.
And I don't think it was ever our intention to have this big church full every Sunday. Mm. It was a case of God is calling us as a community to something. Let's walk it out and see where we end up.
Beautiful.
And because of, we used to meet in home groups still in those days. So there was this sense of, we are a group of people, we're pursuing God, and let's see where this takes us.
So I love that you've brought that in there, Terry, because that's so important. I think actually, you know, you said that it wasn't our intention to be a big church, but actually you then clarified that really well, unintentionally so, by going, but we're actually just a called out community of people, which is exactly what ecclesia means, what the church is.
Yeah.
But that's, you weren't pursuing the big building or the big thing.
No.
You actually were pursuing God with a community of people, which is which is the pure essence of what.
I think that was the last thing we wanted, to be honest.
Yeah.
We never wanted to be a church. We really didn't want to be a church. But we were hungry for God. We had a real passion and a hunger and a thirst for God. And we were with like-minded and like-hearted people.
Yeah.
And there was just something very attractive about that.
And you've done a brilliant thing as well. And again, before your time, which is a lot of what CFC has done, has sort of led the way and has been pioneer in many ways. But that aspect of the celebration gathering, but also the cell. I mean, did cell, the name come in? When was that?
That was later.
The home group?
It started home group and then it was...
Started home group? Okay.
We always called it a home group. Then it became a cell group and a connect group. And
Still connect.
We're still connecting.
We'll maybe unpack some of that development with Paul and Priscilla. But Grace, thank you.
You're
Terry,
so welcome.
Thank you. Just want to honour both you guys and as with Frank and Martin, just for your faithfulness, your ability to persevere through difficult times.
And there are times, in all honesty, whenever I was holding on by my crumbling fingernails, but I knew this is where God wanted me to be, so I wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
So, and God is so good. He's so gracious. He's so merciful.
We were just talking beforehand there about this is celebration of 40 years. And we have been in the wilderness sometimes, but really the journey's been great. And we're now heading for the promised land, I hope. The next phase.
Yeah. I mean, God is good, and as much as we want to celebrate and honour and recognise 40 years since CFC met as a church, it is more about God's faithfulness, which we are just a representative of. But thank you so much
thank you.
For joining with us today, and
thank
it's
you.
Been fantastic.
Great.